Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business, and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Louise Hay has said many times, if we're willing to do the mental work, almost anything can be healed. In similar vein, J.J. Goldwag said, once you heal your mind, the body follows. He also said, finding your highest levels of consciousness releases healing energy throughout the body. Well, over the past 2 months, we've broadcast 2 shows on healing with the arts. And today we're going to continue that theme by focusing on journaling for joy and healing. However you approach journaling, through writing, sketching, photography, stick figure drawing, it's one of the most powerful ways to unlock your inner knowing, heal past hurts, and gain clarity around current challenges. And when I think of journaling for that purpose, for tapping into your inner knowing, I can't think of anyone better to lead the discussion than someone who's quite literally devoted her life to empowering others through her work and through her Journaling for Joy books and classes. Joyce Chapman has devoted her life to empowering others across the board, first as a teacher for the California public school system, then as director of an innovative school in San Diego, California. And she's for many years been a consultant, speaker, counselor, coach, and corporate trainer with a master's in counseling psychology. She's also the author of several books, including Journaling for Joy and the Live Your Dream series. I sat down with Joyce last month. As I said, she's one of my favorite people on this very topic. I really can't think of anyone better to be playful with, anyone who's more passionate about the subject. And so we sat down last month, and today we're going to bring you that conversation for the first time on Journaling for Joy. So Joyce, I want to start off with a quote that's on your website, because I think this explains a lot about you as a person and you as a teacher and author. You say on the website, I'm very thankful that my parents encouraged me to believe in magic and dreams coming true. Yet I know you also to be very playful, but also very practical and down to earth and grounded and a really hardworking person. Tell me how all that comes together.
You know, I love that. Thank you. I really do know that I'm very reality based, and yet I do know I'm just totally believe in, you know, miracles can happen. And I do attribute that to the way I was raised and, you know, and throughout my life. It's just like I had a twist of I can create my own reality, and now the way I want it to look is this. And so I just keep doing that over and over and over, and I've never stopped doing that since very early in my life.
Right. And I know you've helped thousands and thousands of people, and today we're going to focus on journaling to heal, but there are many aspects to that, and a lot of your work encompasses that on a daily basis anyway. But let's focus here on where to start when we're trying to use journaling as a healing tool. You talk about the art of self-investigation. So tell us a little bit about what you mean by the art of self-investigation.
I believe it all started for me when I started asking myself questions. So it's like, I don't think I'd ever really stopped and said, you know, what do you think, Joyce? And it may sound so light and airy and fairy and all of that wonderful stuff, but the truth is when I started asking myself questions, I realized I had my answers. And so instead of, you know, fretting about something that wasn't working or worrying about something that was worrying me or resisting something that was in my life that I didn't want to have in my life. And when I started asking those questions and the answers started to come, I realized I was my own best advisor.
Yes.
So I started listening.
Yeah, and that does not sound trite at all. And I have to share this, Joyce, you know, when I was 5 years old, my grandfather said to me, listen to everybody's advice, but always make up your own mind and listen to your gut because you'll always have the answers. But it took me many, 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 many years to understand what that meant.
I say to people now, you know, that have had a chance to get me know me a little bit, they'll say, what's your favorite thing to talk about? Anyway, well, the first thing I love is when somebody says, what do you think, Joyce? And that, I think you know me well enough, Vicki, that you know that it's because I have read extensively and traveled throughout my life and have had a full life with family and friends and teaching and counseling and coaching. And so now it's like I do have lots of thoughts and I would love to share them. So, you know, it's like when you have given yourself permission to know what you think and know what you believe, then you have, you know, lots of wonderful future conversations that you can have.
Right. And I really do mean this sincerely. When I think of journaling, I automatically think of you and I think of you as the expert. I know you're very, very passionate about journaling as a tool. And I'm wondering what it is in particular about journaling that you think is so powerful. And I know that's a huge question, Joyce. There are many things that are powerful about it. But what do you think is maybe, you know, the top tool, the top focus there in journaling? Why is it so powerful?
You know, Vicki, not to be like cute by using the subtitle of my book, but I really do think the subtitle of my book says it, writing for your personal growth and freedom. So when you pick up the pen, and I do always use pen and paper, when you pick up the pen, you know that you're going to go into a place of, you know, your own inner force, your own inner wisdom, and to find out what you think and what you know. And I think the part that I sometimes forget to say, too, is like sometimes if you don't know, what does that invite you to do? You know, ask another expert, get a book, you know, make an appointment with someone that may have some answers for you. So it's like trusting that you may not know, but you also do know the path that you could possibly take.
Right.
So it's that, you know. Gee, I'm the smartest person I know. And I love that your grandfather taught you that.
I know. He was a man that was full of these sayings. But I do remember them, so it just took me a while to figure it out myself, right? So we've kind of touched on this a little bit, but I just want to read this because it's in your book. You say self-inquiry and self-discovery will give you more information about yourself than if you'd read a whole library of books and consulted countless experts. It's going to help you discover what's keeping you from feeling healthy, creative, and joyful. So, and you also say, if you do the work, each day of your future will emerge out of conscious choice. And isn't that what, at the end of the day, we want? We want to be able to make decisions and live our lives out of conscious choice.
Absolutely. And I'm, you know, one of my favorite things to point out to people is being in charge, not in control, folks. Because the nature, the wonders of the world may have something different in mind for you. But if you're in charge of it, you can make a choice.
Yeah.
You know, living from my life is my choice.
Right. So let's take a look at how we might get started. And we've talked about this before, that you do not have to be a writer to journal. You don't even have to be able to spell. You can be I know somebody who's dyslexic and journals every single day. You find the way that works for you and do it, whether it's pictures, words. Talk to us a little bit more about that, if you would.
Absolutely. I'm so passionate, and you used that word before about me, but I am so passionate about you don't have to have any skills to journal, to write, to get to know yourself, other than, you know, the curiosity that you do want to find that out. And I do think that probably this strong belief came from me from working with children, because I worked, well, I have four children of my own, but I also worked with young children for many years, you know, kindergartens, pre-kindergarten, so they're 4 or 5 years old, and they didn't even ever hesitate if I said, okay, let's take time out to journal, you know, pick up your crayon or whatever they had handy, and they would draw, they would scribble, they would, you know, make their paper black, whatever it was. It was like, so they didn't have, you know, the restrictions of I can't do that. And because I had the absolute knowing that they could do that, that also gave them permission, you know, to experiment. So I use that knowing to work with adults that say, you know, I can't write, I can't spell, as you just mentioned. It's like, well, that doesn't matter. That's not what it's about. It's about writing to, you know, release something that might be stored in your body. It's to write something that you're asking a question about. And so just dare to pick up that pen and say, hello. Hello, my journal. What do I want to write today? And there are so many questions that I could give you to start off that, you know, to trigger.
Right. Well, we're going to get to some of those in just a second, but I think that's a really valid point that you brought up there, because I think of as adults, you know, I know when I am talking around and about or giving workshops that people, adults want to know, well, how do I do it? What's the right way to do it? And there is no right way to do it.
There is no right way. That's the fun part of it, too, is like so many people don't hear that. So it's like, okay, let me prove it to you. You know, let's draw a picture, a stick figure, you know. And it's like, oh, I can do that, you know. And so it's just like give those hints that you can just, and it is about play.
It's about what?
Play.
Play,
you know,
yes.
Be playful. You know, it's like we are not, I am not going to give you a letter grade. Of course, that comes from my teacher background. But I do think that we, you know, most of us have grown up with some kind of idea that there'll be some judgment.
Right. And even you know, when we're in a place of healing, when we're in a place of pain or sorrow, the more we can play with ourselves as we go through this conversation here, the more we can play with ourselves, the deeper our healing will be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I jokingly, and you know that I have that lightness about me, you know, you really won't care if your house was clean, but you really will care if you can take lots of happy memories with you.
Right,
you know,
right.
At the end of the day.
So, Joyce, let's look at where we start with this. You know, I think a good place, and you talk about this in the book, is to start with, you know, what I would call a snapshot of where we are right now. Your question in your book is, where am I in my life right now? Why is it so important to start there?
I just think that's the most wonderful question to get a person to start to have that curiosity about themselves, because where am I in my life right now? If the immediate thought was in a funk, I'm kind of low today, then you start there and you ask yourself, okay, you know, what got me here? Why am I feeling this? What do I want? Another question along with that, where am I life right now, is like, what do I want? It's such a simple question, and yet a lot of people, Vicki, don't know the answer.
Right.
Until they do.
Right. And that brings up a thought there, because so often we're taught, you know, Stephen Covey's work, for example, begin with the end in mind. You know, how do we get to where we're going if we don't know where we want to end up? And sometimes we really don't know where we want to end up, and we've got to start somewhere.
And it's just such a, you know, I don't have to wonder what I need to do today, because I already know what I want to do today, you know, and it's just, it's so freeing. And you probably got it from the title of my book, Journaling for Joy. I want to live in joy. And I want to encourage anybody that wants to live in joy to do that. And I know journaling is one way.
And my guest today is Joyce Chapman, author of Journaling for Joy, Writing for Personal Growth and Freedom, and the Live Your Dream series. We'll be right back after a quick break, when Joyce will share how to get started with a technique she calls Hello My Body. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation. at nwpf.org.
OMG! Grammar abuse is no LOL! Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair.
Remember, you're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And today we're continuing the Healing with the Arts series, talking specifically today about journaling for joy and healing with Joyce Chapman, author of Journaling for Joy, Personal Growth and Freedom. And I want to take just a moment to read a poem here that is another one of Joyce's. But these are the kind of things that you can journal about. I notice my life, notice myself. I laughed so hard today. I notice the times when I laugh. I notice how laughing makes me feel. I notice what my true feelings are. I notice the changes in me. I notice what brings them about. I notice, am I laughing enough lately? I notice what's here for me to learn. I'm a scientific observer of my own life. I'm gathering the material for reflection and decision making. I notice what I really want. I notice what I need. What is the gift in each situation? I especially notice opportunity. I notice my gentleness. I notice my vulnerability. I notice my strength. I notice beauty. I notice love. I notice you. And that's called I Notice My Life. And Joyce is a big proponent of paying attention and noticing. Let's continue our conversation with Joyce Chapman. We're talking with Joyce Chapman. Journaling for Joy is her book, Writing Your Way to Personal Growth and Freedom. And we're particularly talking today about healing, how to use journaling to help you heal, whether that's from a major catastrophe or, you know, a bout of tension and stress. Many, many ways we need to heal, right, Joyce?
Absolutely.
So let's look at some of the ways that some of the questions that you'd throw out to get somebody started on their journaling process. Yeah, we're looking at where we are right now. What are some of the questions that we try and answer?
You know, one of the things, and we may talk about this more later, but one of the wonderful journaling ideas is to have a conversation and to have a conversation with your body, you know, and that's a very novel idea for many, and yet once you start, you'll go, my body is very knows a lot about me, you know. And the very first dialogue or conversation that I ever had was recommended that I just said, hello, my body, what is it you want to tell me? And my body had so much that it wanted to tell me, and it was just amazing to me. And if you have a body part that is hurting or is bothering you, you know, write to that body part. Hello, my soul. Of my foot. I had a woman in one workshop, and she's given me permission to share this story. She said that her feet were bothering her a lot, and I said, "Well, what do your feet want to say to you?" And so she had this conversation, and she realized that the soles of her feet were talking about she needed to nurture her soul, S-O-U-L,
right?
Of soul. And it was so powerful. I'll never forget that. It was an afternoon. I'll never forget that, because it was just like, oh my goodness. And it was just like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. So I don't have to worry about my feet anymore. And this may sound a little bit far-fetched, but guess what? She stopped having pain in her feet.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think a lot of it, a lot of the roadblocks we put up in our way, a lot of the issues we have put up in our way, once we recognize them, they do tend to disappear on us.
And this, amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing, and this is a great way to do it. So one of the things you say in journaling is date the entries. Why date the entries? Why is that important?
I think it's very important to track, because once you realize that, you know, you were here one day and 3 days later you were in a whole different place, you can measure your growth. And growth is, you know, one of my favorite lines is growth is the only evidence of life. And it was John Newman, I think, said that. But it's just like, that's so true, because if we're growing, we're always changing and looking at the wonder rather than the problems and being in the solution rather than, you know, being stuck. So it's like, that's such a wonderful pattern to start for yourself.
Right. And that being stuck can become a habit. I remember actually when I was working with you as my coach and I had dated something. And then a couple of months later, I was flipping through the books and I was like, oh, I wrote about that again yesterday. I must be stuck in a pattern here.
So powerful. It's just like, oh my gosh, I wrote that last January too. I think it's time to take some action here, you know. So it's to be your own coach, your own advisor. It's just like, you know, I don't want to keep writing about this.
Right.
You know, if you're angry with something, let's write to get that anger out, you know. And I know there's a lot more to say about that, but that's why the dating of your entries is so valuable, because you can look back and you can see if you are stuck, you can also measure your growth, which is then, you know, cause for celebration. Hey, I'm not there anymore.
Right.
You know, I used to get mad at things like that. Now I no longer get mad at things like that. So it's like growth is the only evidence of life.
Well, one of the things that I think is also useful, you know, there's many, many useful things in the book, but the list of lists and, you know, I know from working with coaches myself, we always want to start with language. This is what I teach too. Start with our language and listen to what we're saying to ourselves. And some of the topics you had on your list of lists were things like excuses I use, where I've been wrong, where I've sold out, losses in my life, times I've been sick or had accidents. Talk to us a little bit about what that list of lists means exactly.
Well, it gives you, I always say, one of the first things in a talk, I'll say, if you think you can't journal, think of, have you ever made a to-do list? Well, I don't think there's ever been anybody in an audience or a group that hasn't, you know, laughed or smiled at that. Well, of course I make a to-do list, you know, or of course at least I think about making a to-do list. And I said, because if you can make a to-do list, you can journal. And so the list gives you, you know, the spark, gives you that beginning step. So, you know, say if you write a list that you could call times, I'm looking at the book right now, so I'll just read one, times I've been right and how I knew it and what I did. So it's like, okay, by tracking that, I can take that now into my life and become more, you know, acutely aware of it. And one magical part of journaling is you become aware. You know, you live in, you mentioned early, conscious choice.
Right.
You know, nobody else is driving your car. You are driving your car, which is called your life. You know, so the list making is just such a wonderful place to start, because you may have forgotten. You know, what do I like about myself? I mean, that is such a, I mean, I've had lots of laughter about that one. Well, you mean you really want me to brag on paper? Yes, I want you to brag. Because if you don't know what you like about yourself, guess what?
Yeah.
Guess what, Vicky? What do you think?
Well, I think that's really important, Joy. And I know you're laughing about it, but it is important, because I think when somebody's in a situation where they're feeling down, or, you know, they've lost a loved one, or they're in pain, whatever, what, of course, the tendency is to focus on the negative, right? And we do forget what we like about ourselves.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and another, you know, I made a long list not too long ago of adjectives I love to have used about me. And it was just like, I think I wrote 72 adjectives.
Oh, God, share a couple of those.
I don't have that list available, but I was just like, wow, I have lots of words I like to hear used about myself, and one of my favorite was brilliant. I like that somebody might call me brilliant. You know? And again, as you say, yes, I laugh about it because, see, that's where the uplifting aspect of journaling can take in. Because, Vicki, I have lived a very real life. I've had tragedy, I've had sorrow, I've had illnesses, I've had, you know, so I'm not a person that has lived in denial, believe me. And I do know that because of the journaling, I don't stay in those places of, you know, could be sadness. I don't deny them, of course. But if I'm sad and feeling a loss of a loved one, I write that person a letter in my journal. And just say, I'm thinking of you today. And guess what that brings me to, Vicki? Peace.
Right, right. I actually bought a special journal when my mom died and wrote to her every day. It still upsets me when I say that. But and then all of a sudden I stopped. I couldn't do it anymore. But I do think there's a great deal of value in that. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to ask you a little bit about how we can go deeper into that healing process by writing letters to people who've harmed us or people we've lost, and about having deeper conversations with ourselves. And you are listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Joyce Chapman is my guest, I'm pleased to say, and her book is called Journaling for Joy, Writing Your Way to Personal Growth and Freedom. We will be right back. Please stay with us.
More than 100 million wild animals are killed each year illegally. Poaching is a major threat to our country's wildlife. I'm Tom Barry. I'm an actor with a desire to preserve living space for wildlife. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust does just that. Works with private landowners to protect wildlife, to preserve natural habitats. To learn more or to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, call 800-729-SAVE. That's 800-729-SAVE or visit wildlifelandtrust.org. Thank you.
Next week on Conversations Live, New York Times bestselling author tells us how chocolate can help your workout. Canadian novelist Brian Patton comes to Seattle, and author of Tipping Sacred Cows, Betsy Chase, shares her uplifting story of spilt milk and finding your own spiritual path in a hectic world. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM and 98.9 HD Channel 3. See conversationslive.net for upcoming show details and podcasts.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Listen to podcasts of past shows at conversationslive.net.
Some people know a good thing when they hear it. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And we're talking about journaling to heal today. We are talking with Joyce Chapman. Her book is called Journaling for Joy, Writing Your Way to Personal Growth and Freedom. And we're going to talk in this segment about going deeper into healing by creating conversations with ourselves. And Joyce, there's a quote in your book by Progoff who says, "An artist is always in dialogue with his or her work. We are the artists of our life. Our life is," and you go on to say, "we're the artists of our life and our life is creation. And we should be in constant conversation." And we've talked a little about that, but let's talk about how we talk to ourselves to let it out and let it go.
It's so vital, and I never had even been introduced to the idea before I did it, and once I was introduced to it, I was hooked. So I hope that anyone listening today will be hooked, that you can talk to yourself, and it the answers will be there, the thoughts will be there. Maybe, and this is the part that I love sharing, because guess what? You'll never run out of ideas to write about. So along with your first thought about, you know, I can't write, or many people's first thought, I can't journal, I can't write, it's like, but you can talk to it with yourself. And so instead of the talk that, the self-talk that you might have been caught up in, you can shift it into any kind of self-talk that you want to have. So it's like by asking a question, by saying, you know, I'd like to know more about that. What do I know about that? You know, so you start that off with, you know, there is something that I want to take time out and figure out. It's like, okay, I'm having some pain, and I'd like to talk to that pain. I'm having some feeling of anger. Anger is great to get released from a conversation. I don't want to store this anger in my body. You know, yes, I know it's there, and I don't want to deny it. So what's at the bottom of it? And guess what? You will get to the bottom of it if you stick with it. But sometimes it takes, another thing, 2 minutes. I don't have time to journal. I've heard that one a lot, Vicki. Does that surprise you?
No.
And I'll go, well, if you have 5 minutes, you have time to journal.
Right. So let's talk about the conversation. When you just mentioned pain, have a conversation with pain, have a conversation with anger, or it could be depression, whatever is ailing you. And you're talking about having a two-way conversation, not a dialogue, but a two-way conversation.
Absolutely.
So you would be the, just give me an example of that. Maybe you could read a little bit to me if you have the book handy, but how that would go.
Well, I grab the book when you said we were going to talk about it, so I will. You just start off with, I usually write Joyce, or JC, for Joyce Talbot, and in the book, on page 109, it says, here's a conversation with pain, and me. What are you about, pain? Pain says, I'm here to make you pay attention. Me. Attention to what? I don't think I have to say pain. You'll get that. Yourself, your needs. What do you mean? You are always saying it's okay when it's not. Stuffing feelings, stuffing anger is harmful for you. It makes you sick. Me. I feel worse now expressing it all that I would if I hold it. That then I would have to hold on to it for a moment, yes, but it hurts so much, not only because you have blocked all those channels for so long, no anger, no joy, no intense feelings of any kind. So blow the angle through and watch the joy follow soon. Open those passages. Clean out those clogged systems. That's why you're cold. You're always afraid. You're always pulled into the to protect the core. You're paralyzed with fear. Let the anger roll out. Don't hold back. And I could go on. But the bottom line is the feedback statement when this person wrote this entry and wrote, what is true for me is my relation with Pete. I swallowed lots of anger and lots of the S blank, 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 blank. I sit on it, waiting for him to nurture me. It's overweighting. I need and want to nurture myself with caring instead of food. Pain prevention. And I didn't add this to this, but it would be aha. So you get to those aha moments.
Right.
Okay, I'm not living that anymore. It's over, but I've been holding on to it. And the good part is that when you get to that place, Vicki, and I think you can probably give lots of examples when you've gotten to that place because you are a journaler, you get to that like, hey, it's gone.
Yep. For me, it happens with a no need to write anymore, but I think that's often the time when you need to write more.
It could be, but you know what? If the more you write, the more you realize what a, you know, healing tool it is. The more you know, you get at resolution.
Yes.
You get to the answer. You get to the aha, as I mentioned a moment ago. It's like, oh my gosh, that's it. That's it. That's what I was angry about. That's what I was stuffing. That's what I was holding on to, you know, whatever those phrases might be. And it's like, it's gone. And if it's still there, write some more.
Yes, I actually received, this is funny you talk about that aha moment, because I actually received an email from my brother. It was the middle of his night, and he'd got up to email me with a thought that had popped into his head, and he said, suddenly, I get it, I get everything.
The waters have
And there was a page of his theory, and which is unusual because usually I get, you know, very abbreviated sentences from him. And anyway, it just occurred to him in the middle of the night, this issue he'd been trying to work out, and poof, it all came together. And journaling definitely helps.
Absolutely. And you know, it's not that you have to write everything down, but it also, I call it, you get in the habit of journaling in your head.
Yeah.
But knowing that it is important to get to that aha moment, to that feedback, to that either deeper understanding or a new, I call them assignments, a new writing, a new assignment, then you just keep it up until you're there.
Let's talk a little bit about overcoming resistance, because I think when people start to do anything like journaling, it could be a different tool, but we're talking about journaling specific today. When you get to a point where you do start to realize, oh, okay, this is why that's happening, or this is what I need to change, or this is what I should, well, I don't want to use the word should, this is what I'm going to do. But there often can be a point of resistance. We can hit a wall there and we can just loop back into the old ways of doing things. How do we avoid that when we're through the journaling process?
Well, I, as you would guess, I do it playfully. It was like, okay, if you are in a place that you don't want to be, it's called, you know, a comfort that you might be uncomfortable. But guess what? When you are fully alive, there are going to be times where you're uncomfortable. So it's like to teach yourself, and it really is to teach yourself, Vicki, to teach yourself is like, I want to be in a new place. I don't want to be a complainer. I don't want to be a moaner. I don't want to live my life stuck in a place where I don't want to be. It does sometimes take clarity, like the what I want list that we talked about earlier. So, like, what do I want? If I don't want this, what do I want? So it's the, you know, the resistance, that wonderful thought is whatever you resist will persist. So it's like, well, if you don't want it to persist, then don't resist it. So it's like just keep going, keep sharing with somebody that cares about your growth. You know, keep writing to that person that wants to hear about your growth. Keep, and if it's only yourself, then make that person yourself. So it's like, just when I say give up the resistance, just really give yourself permission to say, you know, I don't want to resist this. Mm-hmm. I want to find the answer.
Yeah.
And I want to be a person that other people say, find the adjective that you want to be described as, you know, it's like, that's the person I want to be. So you get attached to the growth. So you get attached to the freedom.
I love that.
To the joy.
I love that. Get attached to the growth and get attached to the freedom, because I'm betting for most of us, when if we made a list of why we're resisting it, those words all add up to fear of change.
Have you noticed that that's pretty prevalent in many people? I wrote another book called Live Your Dream, which is all about taking action. You know, I know that you know that. It's just like, so it is about the action aspect. You know, it's like, I have this wonderful quick story. May I tell it?
Yes, please.
About a five-year-old in my life. He was watching a Daredevil show with his grandpa, and it was very, very scary. And he said to his grandpa, I want to learn to do that. And his grandpa said, and this is somebody in my family, his grandpa said, but, you know, you might have an accident or you might die. And he looks up at him with a big smile on his face, I don't care if I die, I want to do that. Now, that to me is an inspirational thought. And does he really not care that he wants to die? Of course not, but that's the five-year-old perspective.
Yes.
I want to experience that.
I think we can learn a lot from toddlers and a lot from dogs, because they think very much the same. They live in the moment there.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. Watch a dog at play.
Oh, yes. Every day. I can be ready to tear my hair out in 5 minutes playing with my dog, and everything's, you know, come by R again. So let's talk about tapping into...
That part part of, you know, it's like just live in the moment more.
Yes, definitely. Let's talk about living. Let's talk about tapping into intuition. We're talking about living in the moment. And you have a whole chapter dedicated to tapping into intuition. You've said this during the course of our conversation that we do have the answers within us. So, Joyce, let's talk about tapping into intuition. You talk about this, you have a whole chapter in the book dedicated to this, and you've talked about this during our conversation here, that we do have the answers within us if we dig deep enough and we ask the right questions and we just keep playing around with it. So talk to us a little bit about your perspective on tapping into our intuition.
Well, I'm very passionate about it. I'm very attached to it because it's like that to me is, as I mentioned, the child story. That's the wonder. That's the magic. That's the, you know, I don't care how old you are or how whatever is going on in your life is disturbing your life. But if you tap into that inner knowing that this is what I want, this is how I want it to look, and I know that we hold many thoughts in our minds that are just below, I think the common phrase is just below the surface. And if you just tap into that subconscious mind and say, what's there for me to look at? What's there for me to, you know, tap into now is into the wonder, into the magic, into a new beginning, always a new beginning. And trust, this is a big word, trust that your answers are there.
Right. You work a lot with groups, and I'm wondering if you see more value in working with a group than individually, or does it depend on the individual person?
The power of working with a group is that each and every one of us is on a different page, but we're all in many ways on the same page. And I love working with groups. I love to journal in a group because I hear someone else's story and it reminds me of a story I want to write about myself. So it's back into my own personal work out of listening to somebody else's story. Even when I say, even if it's a dark story, what am I learning from that person? And it is that one idea, one mind, one universe. And if I know that I'm no different than my neighbor, if I'm no different than the person sitting across the room, then I can learn and I can enhance my life and live it. You know, for me, it's like a higher level, just always growing and always reaching for a new place to be.
Right.
And the answers are there.
So you have a workbook that accompanies the book, and that's also called Journaling for Joy. It's the workbook. Tell listeners a little bit more about this and how they could benefit from it.
Well, one of the reasons that I created the workbook is because, and there's some of the earlier things that we talked about, it's like, how do I get started? And so I said, okay, I'll do a workbook that'll help you get started. So if you are a person that would like a little more direction, the workbook can really, really, really assist you because it's full of questions and blanks. And you just fill in the blank and it doesn't, you know, don't have to take a whole day. The first question, Vicki, as you probably know, is how do I feel about journaling right now? I hate this idea. Okay, you know. And then the second question: what would you like journaling to do for you? You know. So it's going to lead you down a path that will take you to deeper understanding, deeper knowing of yourself, and all the suggestions are right there. So it's a valuable tool for those people. For people, you know, some don't like that restriction. Some want blank paper, you know, and
right.
lots of blank paper. But some do like the questions. And I actually love why I did their workbook because a very special person in my life, my daughter-in-law, said to me she loves spelling workbooks as a child. And I looked at her and I went, you did? Why? And her answer was, because all I had to do was fill in the blank. I thought, okay, I need to do some workbooks. That is absolutely the reason I did the workbook, because she liked to fill in the blanks, and I like her a lot. So I thought, I bet there are a lot of people that like to fill in the blanks. So that's what the workbook does. It's a guide.
Yes, definitely. And as you said, what works for you, that's all you have to worry about is what works for you.
Absolutely.
My guest today is Joyce Chapman, speaker, coach, and author of Journaling for Joy, Writing for Personal Growth and Freedom. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Looking for unconditional love, an exercise buddy, or a great listener? Paws has the dog or cat of your dreams, just waiting to meet you. We've made thousands of perfect matches since 1967 because everyone needs a warm, safe place to call home. Find out more today at paws.org or call 425-787-2500.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
Next week on Conversations Live, New York Times bestselling author tells us how chocolate can help your workout. Canadian novelist Brian Patton comes to Seattle, and author of Tipping Sacred Cows, Betsy Chase, shares her uplifting story of spilt milk and finding your own spiritual path in a hectic world. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m. and 98.9 HD Channel 3. See conversationslive.net for upcoming show details and podcasts.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to brighten your day.
Following the herd is fine until they lead you off a cliff. Think for yourself. Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And I'm talking with one of my favorite people today, Joyce Chapman. Her book is called Journaling for Joy, Writing Your Way to Personal Growth and Freedom. And we've been talking about journaling for healing today, how it can help you heal. And Joyce, I'm going to read one of the stories that you share in your book. We talked a little while ago about tapping into your intuition, and this is under a segment called Accessing Your Inner Wisdom. You say, as a small child, I loved to fish with my grandfather in the creek near his farm. How do you know there are fish in there? I remember asking him. First, you trust that they're there. Then you put the worm on your hook. You drop it into the water, and you can count on those fish being hungry, Granddad counseled. So it is with accessing inner wisdom. First, you trust that it is there. Wisdom is such a powerful idea. Talk to us a little bit about why that story resonated with you and your grandfather. He sounds like a cool man.
He was quite a wonderful person. I could tell you lots of stories about him. And one of the things, I know you just asked me a question, one of the things I'm going to say is, like, I never really thought too much about my grandfather other than I loved him and I knew that he was an important person. And once I started to journal, I totally realized how much he had shaped me and how much he had touched my life, not unlike the story that you shared in the beginning. It's just like, you know, and he did plant ideas in my mind that when I started to journal, I started to get in touch with. So it's like my grandfather really did trust that I could catch a fish. And my grandfather taught me that I could trust that I could catch a fish. And I believe that when I wrote that and when I started to tap in that, it's like, if I can catch a fish in that creek, I can do anything that I want to do in this lifetime. So I do believe that he gave me the, you know, that seed, so to speak, of that I did have my own, I could create a world that I wanted to create, and out of that I could create just the life that I wanted to live. And so I do think that that story and that type of writing did lead me to the fact that I do have my own inner wisdom and that I could trust that. And because I realized that, I could tell other people that they had their own inner wisdom and that they could trust that. And that all you had to do was, you know, give yourself a question, give yourself an idea, sit quietly under a tree and let your imagination, you know, be sparked. And what is it that you want to imagine? What is it you want to pretend? What is it that you want to recreate and or create in your life? And so those are the things that happen when you journal.
Yeah. Well, I loved this story. You do have a group of women journalers. And you, I mean, I know you've had many, but this particular one, somebody named Karen wrote this story called Born Again, and I'd like to share just a snippet of it with our listeners. Tell us a little bit, if you would, without divulging confidences, about Karen's experience with journaling. I think she was fairly new to the group.
She was absolutely new to the idea of journaling, and she had has a rich background of being a trained counselor herself, and yet she had never really done any journaling. And it was just like I see her face as I'm talking to you about her, and she just has a wonderful sparkle about her, and she, like all of us, she has some personal growth that she would like to, you know, pursue. So when she started to journal and started to tap into her own answers and to her own joy and to some of the sorrow that she wanted to release, it was really, really special. So I would love for you to read anything that Karen ever wrote in a journaling circle.
Well, the piece that she shared with us for this purpose is called Born Again, and it was written in July of this year, and she wrote this. Finishing early with my writing, I look around this group of women I only see every few Sundays for 6 months. I've come to know them in ways deeper than many other folks. The focus on our journals has made this so. I love seeing them write, their faces sometimes serious in thought, at times a tear or two falls, other times their eyebrows dart up in those aha moments. My favorite is when they smile, seemingly tickled at what they've written or discovered. And then she goes on to talk about how she notices that each person has chosen their own individual distinctive journal for this purpose. And she ends the piece with, I'm so grateful for this group, smart, articulate, with the ability to laugh at ourselves, brave wordsmiths with emotions, sometimes so big that one must labor to birth them. Born Again. Born Again in capital letters. Love it.
I'm healed, I'm cured, I'm happy again. You know, it's like, and does that always happen? No, but that is Born Again. We could change the name of this book to Born Again, and that is what happens, and you are renewed.
Well, I love the work that you do. You know that, I don't have to tell you, but this book and the workbook that accompanies it are both called Journaling for Joy, Writing Your Way to Personal Growth and Freedom. And Ms. Joyce Chapman, I'm going to ask if you'd read the poem at the beginning of the book to us, because as we've talked about in here, you know, when you're healing, the more you can look at the joy in your life and appreciate the joy in your life and tap into your inner self and consciousness, the quicker we'll heal.
Thank you. I would love to read my poem. I definitely, going to start off with, I never thought I had a poem in me until I started to journal. And then I found I had a lot of poems in me. So it's like I didn't have to be an accomplished poet to start writing poems. And so with the permission of saying I can write anything that I want to, I wrote this poem. And so I'd love to share it. Oh, please pay attention to the joy. It's always there. It's the silver lining around the dark cloud. It's the mother's soft kiss on the scraped elbow. It's the vision of next year's harvest in freshly plowed undercrop. It's the freedom to grow that allows the loss. It's the strength of character that develops out of today's terrible tragedy. Look for it, cherish it, celebrate it. Make it the foundation of your growth. Oh, yes, pay attention to the joy. I know that it changed my life to start to journal, and I know that my life was not bad at that point. However, it just became richer and richer every single day that I journal, and I do journal every day. And when people say, "What's your secret to being such a joyful person?" I go, with a big smile on my face, "I journal." So, with that, I can tell you, I hope everybody listening today will also pick up a pen and start to journal.
I love it. And your book, again, is called Journaling for Joy, Writing Your Way to Personal Growth and Freedom. And I loved, just to recap a phrase that you said in our conversation, get attached to the sense of growth, get attached to freedom. Love it. Joyce Chapman, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that brings us to the end of today's show. My guest, of course, was Joyce Chapman, author of Journaling for Joy, Writing for Personal Growth and Freedom. I'd love to get your feedback on today's show. You can find me at conversationslive.net or at 800-495-7617 or at info@conversationslive.net. If you have any questions or feedback that you'd like to send to Joyce, you can send them to me or you can send them to Joyce via her website, which is joycechapman.com, joycechapman.com. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll see you live next week. Until then, live well, live strong. Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.